Welcome to the Story Weaver podcast. I'm your host, Bron Rauch Mitchell. Come sit with me under the story tree as I weave a tale or two for you. Welcome to Elements of the Craft of Storytelling. On Friday, my daughter and I will be going on a short trip interstate to see my boys and my folks. It's my youngest son's birthday on Friday, and so we're going down to spend some time with them. So as I'll be travelling, I won't be able to launch the episode when I normally do, so I'll be fiddling around with scheduling the episode, and hopefully it will land around the right time. If it doesn't, my apologies. So we've been pre-recording enough episodes for that time, which will bring us to episode 30, which is the end of this season, season 1. So that last episode is scheduled to be on July 12. We will then take 2 weeks break, and season 2 will return on July 29. Now, in that 2 weeks break, I will try and release some short bonus episodes just to keep the interest going. I'd like to say a really big thank you to my lovely editor, Paul, for working overtime to try and help get the last of these episodes recorded. It's quite a bit of work. And now it's time for another writing-related Q&A session. I've seen these questions or variations of doing the rounds in the writing groups and across various social media. Answering these type of questions can be helpful to organise your thoughts, and they're an interesting bunch of questions. If we've got time, I have a baker's dozen of them. Some about writing and some are about me as an author. Okay, so here we go. Question 1. What do you do when the creative juices aren't flowing? So I do the same thing for writing that I do for any other creative project. I have a list of things that I try. Generally, if I'm stuck with a writing project, I will switch to another writing project. I always have several on the go, and they're all different. So if I'm stuck on a poem, I might go and look at my comic script. If I'm stuck on the comic script, then I might go and work on the pantomime script, and so on. If that doesn't work, I usually go and organise my writing files. I'll copy over the notes that I've got on various devices, make sure that my notes are all backed up and orderly so I can find things. If that doesn't work, I'll often go do some housework. It's amazing how many times that will get the juices flowing. I don't know if it's because we'd rather avoid housework or if there's something to do with the manual labour, but many a time I've been hanging up washing or washing dishes, vacuuming, and I've found the answer to my block. If that doesn't work, I take the dog for a walk or I go to the park with my daughter. I'll grab out my beads and I'll either make a necklace or I'll sort through my beads, because sorting out, especially the tiny, tiny beads, pausing and sorting them out can often help free up the creative block and help you focus your thoughts. Sometimes it's good to pick up a favourite book, reread some of your favourite passages, or read a book that's similar to what you're working on. That can jog something loose and you can find your block is gone. Creative juices are flowing again. Watching a movie, same thing. Or even jumping in the shower. It's very rare that I'll go through that complete list and not find the creative juices flowing. If I get through the complete list, including a few things I didn't mention, and the juices aren't flowing, basically I'll put everything away and just veg, play a game with my daughter. Oh, actually, that's something else that works. Jumping onto my favourite game, which is Terraria. It's a world-building game where you fight zombies and battle big bosses. So I'll go and kill a few dozen zombies or build a house, and I find that that can help me collect my thoughts. So yeah, I have a number of things that I'll do when the creative juices aren't flowing. Question 2. Do you or would you use a pen name and why? Well, that one's easy. I do have a pen name. I haven't written under the pen name yet, but I write more than one genre, and some of my work is best suited to be released under a pen name. One of the things I write is erotic fairy tales, but I also write fairy tales for children. And it was pointed out to me that it would be a mistake to publish both under the same name, because it is quite possible that the kids would unknowingly be reading the erotic fairy tales. So I have come up with a pen name for that. I do have some horror work that I'm working on that may also be released under a pen name, and possibly a couple of experimental pieces, all different pen names. Will I share the pen names? No, not at this point in time. Question 3. Do you find that writing as a solitary activity is isolating? No, actually. I'm pretty much a solitary person at the best of times, so I don't mind doing solitary activities. If I want to connect with other writers, there are writers' groups, there's social media, the writing community on Twitter particularly. It's very rare that I ever find myself really isolated as a writer. So no, I don't find writing itself is isolating. Question 4. Do you plan to self-publish, traditional publish, or something else? That's easy. I plan to get my words out there in as many ways as possible. My work has been published in indie publications. I've had stuff published when I was at high school. I plan on getting my words out there however I can. So that'll be traditionally published. I was actually speaking to a publisher today. Self-publishing, sure. I've got plans to do that. I've got more control over it if I do. With some small independent publishing companies, yep, I'll do that too. I have plans to get my words out in as many different media as possible. That means even sticker art. I know a really cool graffiti artist, and he does some wonderful sticker art, so I've spoken to him in the past about getting my poetry out as street art. Whatever it takes to get my words into different hands and in front of different people, I will do it, pretty much. Okay, question 5. Are you a plotter, a pantster, or what? Okay, so a plotter is, as the name says, someone that plots out every detail of their book before they write. And a pantster is someone that writes by the seat of their pants. And I tend to be what they call a plantster. I do a certain amount of plotting and a certain amount of going by the seat of my pants. And that works best for me. So, plantster all the way. Question 6. If your book became a movie, who is the actor that you would love to cast as one of the characters? Well, that's particularly easy. I've always planned that a lot of my work will become movies. I have a background from university and school of film and theatre, as well as writing. So when I write a lot of books, I've already mentally cast people. Some of my favourites are people like Paul Eiding, Rainbow Franks, Neil Kaplan. They've got wonderful voices or screen presence, so I can already hear them when I'm writing certain characters. I'd love to cast Cora Nemec because he's just absolutely brilliant. I'm writing two characters for my mate Rick Worthy, and there's a bunch of other people that if I had the budget, I would cast them in various roles. Question 7. What's your advice to new writers? Okay, so lots of advice. Some of it I've shared here in the past. My biggest piece is just write, regardless. Try and turn that self-editor off and just write, because as I repeatedly say, crap can be edited, a blank page can't, so just write crap. You're going to get a lot of advice if you're a new writer. You're going to get a lot of advice if you're an established writer. People are often free with their advice. So a lot of advice I'm going to say to you, ignore it, okay? But basically, even on the days when you don't feel like writing, try and write just one word, just something. I've discussed that in the past. But basically, just write, okay? You've got plenty of time to come back and edit the crap out of your work. Question 8. Okay, what is your favorite book, genre, and author? Well, anybody that knows me knows that I literally hate it when I am asked, what is your favorite something? If you could only read one book for the rest of your life, if you could only read one genre. I'm not just a multi-genre writer, I'm eclectic in all my tastes. So I don't have a favorite book, I don't have a favorite genre, and I don't have a favorite author. I have a number of favorite books, and I pretty much like to read most genres, and I have several favorite authors. So, I love the Hunger Games series, I love the Daughter of Empire series, loved Harry Potter, grew up loving Ina Blyton's work. Yeah, there's a lot there. Love The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton, loved a lot of her work. Seriously, my taste in favorite books, just a long list, but there's a few. Question 9. Okay, this one's come up quite a few times. Would you ever include a content or trigger warning on your work? And don't you think that that's babying your audience? Given that I have post-traumatic stress disorder and can trigger over some of the most simplest things, I try to use content warnings when I can. I write about abuse, and some of it can be quite triggering to write, let alone read. So where possible, I will include a trigger warning. It only takes a little bit extra to show that consideration to someone. And after that, it's up to them whether they read it. So no, I don't feel that it's babying my audience. I feel that it's being respectful. Question 10. What book haven't you read that people might be surprised about? Okay, love The Hobbit. That's a favorite book. But time and again, I have tried to read Lord of the Rings and I haven't been able to get into it. And that comes as a surprise to a lot of people, especially when they realize that I love fantasy and that I love The Hobbit. I haven't given up on it. I have a copy of the set and I love the movies. So yes, another book that I've found really hard to get into that I am going to try and read this year is To Kill a Mockingbird. Back when I was a teen, I tried to get into it, couldn't get into it, and gifted my copy to one of my best friends. So that made her day, and apparently she still has the book. So there are some books that I haven't got around to reading, and there are some books that I have tried and tried and just couldn't get into. Question 11. Have you ever written fan fiction? Yes, I have. Just the once that I remember, I was part of a James Masters fan forum. I was actually the club secretary and we had lots of plans for that. But anyway, one of the things we did was there was a bunch of us that liked to write. So we did a round robin fan fiction story and it was a lot of fun. I was writing with the right people. It was respectful. And the little piece that we wrote, it was a nice story. I still have it stashed away in the archive somewhere. So question 12, would I ever write fan fiction now? Some of the one-offs that I want to do for Batman and the Joker, they would probably at this point in time be classed more as fan fiction. So I don't really plan on writing fan fiction per se, but until I can find someone that would be interested in publishing those stories, I guess they'd be considered fan fiction. Question 13. How would you react if someone drew fan art of your character, cosplayed a character, or wrote fan fiction? Okay, if someone drew fan art of my characters or my world or anything, I would absolutely love it. Seriously. I know fan art can be problematic, but it would be something I wouldn't mind. Unless, of course, maybe there'd be problems if they were selling it or whatever else. I don't know. I haven't thought that far. I'm just thinking purely someone coming up to me and saying, I loved your character so much. Here's a picture I drew. I think that would be wonderful. I'm really hoping that some of the characters are going to be cosplayed. In fact, we're actually planning to make it easy for people to cosplay the characters. And we have some plans for some cool props. One of my friends is a prop master. And we hope to release some props to people so that they can cosplay the characters, particularly Celestial Arrow and the Dandy and people from that world. What about fan fiction? Again, that depends on how it's presented. I have heard that some writers have had issues with fan fiction because the fans have been wanting the author to buy the rights to the story. I'm a bit hazy on the details, but anything that shows that the fans are loving the work, that I can get down with. It'd be nice to make that sort of impact on someone. But again, if I thought too deeply about fan art and fan fiction, that could take me down a rabbit hole that I'm not prepared right this second to go down. But yes, show me you love my characters, my world, throw me some fan art, fan fiction, dress up as one of my characters. It's going to be great. Okay? So thank you. I will present some more Q&As over time. Please get some questions in if you want to on any writing related topic, or if you want to find out more about me as an author or more about the work I do. So the email address is thestoryweaverpodcast@gmail.com. I will answer most questions. I'll probably draw the line here and there. But I love to talk about writing. I love to talk about the craft of storytelling. I love to talk about creativity in general. I will talk my ears off about my works in progress. Actually, get me in the right mood and I'll probably talk your ears off anyway. So happy to answer questions. So yeah, and come back on Monday for another 3 chapters for Swallow Me Now by Melissa Gisbers. And I think that's about it. Obviously, I've gone off script. And hopefully this episode will drop when it's supposed to on Friday. And same for Monday's episode. I'm going to pre-schedule that too because I won't be anywhere near here. So hopefully you guys will get them when they're supposed to. As always, thank you for listening. The Story Weaver podcast intro and outro were created by Paul, using licensed music from Stock 20. Paul is also the editor for the show. If you would like to contact me, you can send me an email to thestoryweaverpodcast@gmail.com. Farewell for now, dear friends.